from St. Louis Public Radio. This is the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air. I'm Jason Rosenbaum. I have to admit that I was excited to host this program on Halloween, which happens to be my favorite holiday. For the next hour, I possess unlimited power to infuse this show with references to monsters, supernatural ability, and why Three Musketeers is the best Halloween candy. And while I'd love to base segments for the show around dressing up like the internet phenomenon Smurf Cat, I'm more enamored with things that contribute to Halloween's sublime aura of spookiness. Things like curses. American politics is littered with trends or coincidences. Take, for instance, the curse of Tippecanoe, where, starting with William Henry Harrison, every president who was elected in a year ending with zero eventually died in office or was assassinated. Ronald Reagan arguably broke this curse when he served out his entire 8 years, even after getting shot in 1981. So this got me thinking, what are some Missouri-based political curses, coincidences, or trends? Joining me to delve into this strange and dark world of odd political patterns is Sarah Kellogg, St. Louis Public Radio's Statehouse and politics reporter. Sarah, welcome back to the show and happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween, Jason. Thank you for summoning me for this segment.
Oh, absolutely. And we're going to keep the puns coming. So just some ground rules for this. The Missouri political curses or coincidences or patterns we'll describe, they're not going to include deaths or anything disturbing. Many of them are going to be based on elections, but we'll touch on some intriguing legislative curses, too. So the first curse that comes to mind is the curse of the Missouri House Speaker's office. Since 1984, every House Speaker who tried to run for a statewide office lost. Steve Gaw lost his bid for Secretary of State in 2000. Catherine Hanaway lost bids for Secretary of State and Governor. And most recently, Dean Plocker's bid to become Secretary of State floundered badly. Hanaway, of course, was appointed Attorney General, but she won't officially break this curse unless she wins a full term in 2028. Sarah, why do you think House Speakers make for not so good statewide candidates?
I think there's lots of reasons, but one of them could be the prior elections that House Speakers have to go through and how that may translate statewide. So there's 163 members of the Missouri House, which means that compared to statewide or even a state Senate candidate where there's only 34 senators, that's a small area to cover and a smaller number of constituents. And there might be, you know, an overconfidence of how much being the Speaker weighs the scales, if at all. You know, if it's not your particular representative, does a Missourian know who the Speaker is and B, care, you know? And I'll also say with the Secretary of State's race, you know, that was an incredibly crowded race and Plocker more or less switched last minute. So that was always going to be an uphill battle. But, you know, that might be some of the reasons why.
Now, interestingly, the only House Speaker since Kenneth Rothman, who won lieutenant governor in 1980, to win anything like any office at all is Ron Richard, who ran unopposed for a state Senate seat in the Joplin area. Current House Speaker John Patterson may try to run for the state Senate next year, too, to try to succeed Senator Mike Searpoy in suburban Kansas City. But I guess that pathway is a little bit more difficult. That's going to be one of the most competitive races in the state, isn't it, Sarah?
Yeah, I'd argue it's probably the second most competitive race in the state Senate next year, and his path is absolutely more difficult. You know, his district is in Lee's Summit, which is a suburb of the Kansas City area, and Searpoy, who won his re-election in 2022 by 10 points, you know, in a competitive year, that could be a lot closer. So I think he does have a harder uphill climb, or not even an uphill climb, but just a very close race that I think either he or the Democratic nominee or candidate, Kerry Engel, could win.
The next curse I want to highlight is the 41.7% curse. In 2010, Democratic state senators Wes Schumacher and Frank Barnett both lost re-election to rural state Senate seats, and their GOP opponents both got 58.3% of the vote, which it's pretty unusual for two races at the same time to get the same percentage. Since that election, Missouri Democrats have not won a Senate seat outside of the Kansas City, St. Louis, or Columbia metro areas. Sarah, Democratic malaise in rural areas is something we talk about on this show all the time. But from a legislative perspective, can you talk about what it means for Democrats to have no legislators anymore from outstate Missouri?
I mean, it means that there isn't a Democratic elected voice in that area. And it sometimes means there isn't a really a choice for Democrats or for the voters. You know, roughly 30 seats were uncontested for Republicans last election, two being senators. And for Dems, it was around 18. And a lot of those, you know, uncontested seats in for Republicans were in rural areas, you know, and I think that compounds, you know, if there isn't a bench, then that means there's not going to be candidates. And if and that means that rural communities aren't hearing from Democrats and vice versa if they aren't seen as winnable districts.
And next year, State Representative Betsy Fogel of Springfield has the chance to break that curse. I mean, frankly, Sarah, she's seen as kind of the soft favorite in the, a district that is not elected a Democrat in recent memory. How much pressure is going to be on Fogel to win that seat?
Well, you remember how I just said that I thought Patterson's race was the second most competitive? I think this is the most competitive race in this next year election for Senate. You know, Senate Minority Leader Doug Beck has pretty much said that they assume they're going to win this seat, which is kind of a bold claim. I think there's more pressure on Fogel than any other Dems that are looking to flip districts this year. And I think it's because House Springfield has just creeped towards being purple, you know, the last couple of elections. Former House Minority Leader Crystal Quaid was the first of those Democrats to represent a part of Springfield in the House. There are now three Democratic reps from Springfield. I can't imagine the pressure for that. And that I do agree that I think Dems might be considered the favorite in that one. It's going to be quite a race.
The next curse involves statewide politics. A woman has never won the Missouri governorship, and it has not been for a lack of trying. Five women, Betty Hearns, Margaret Kelly, Claire McCaskill, Nicole Galloway, and Crystal Quaid, all received a major party nomination for governor and lost. Only McCaskill came close to winning, losing to Republican Matt Blunt by 3 percentage points. Sarah, this is a curse or pattern that a lot of states have yet to break, including Illinois and California, but other states are way ahead of Missouri on this front. Arizona has had 5 female governors. New Hampshire has had 4. Kansas has had 3. Arkansas just elected its first female governor. Why do you think Missouri hasn't been able to join these other places?
I mean, in part, depends on the candidates and also the party that they belong to. Forgive me if I'm wrong, Jason, but is Kelly the only Republican of that bunch that you mentioned?
Yes.
So there's an example right there of more women winning the Democratic primary compared to the Republican primary. And for Quaid and Galloway, you know, they ran at a time where Republicans just win statewide elections in Missouri. So I don't think it's the fact that they were women candidates. I think it was they were the Democrat in that instance. And, you know, it's not a surprise. You look at the Missouri House in total, the majority of Republicans in the House and Senate are white men. So it's a smaller pool for Republicans to pull those candidates in general. And you also have to remember, you know, it took until the current treasurer, Vivek Malik, for there to be a person of color in a statewide office in Missouri. So it, you know, it's kind of a pattern for the state, and we'll see how long it takes till that particular, you know, that curse was broken recently. We'll see for a woman being governor.
Here's a quirky non-election curse. Since 2001, nobody who has represented the St. Louis-based 4th Senatorial District have served 2 full 4-year terms. So here's what happened. Lacey Clay left the Missouri Senate in 2001 to become Missouri's first district congressman. His successor, Pat Doherty, could only serve 1 additional term because of term limits. Doherty's successor, Jeff Smith, resigned after pleading guilty to lying to federal investigators. Smith's successor, Joe Kevney, won a full term in 2010 and re-election in 2014, but resigned to become an administrative law judge. His successor, Jake Hummel, lost his bid for a full term in 2018. So it's up to Senator Carla May to finally break the curse by serving until the end of next year. Sarah, I do want to get to a broader point here that a lot of lawmakers who are brushing up against term limits often seek out new opportunities before their terms are over. Why is that? Don't people love serving in the Missouri General Assembly?
I think they don't want to be caught without an opportunity at the end of their term. I think if there weren't term limits, we would see a lot less of this. And it makes sense. You know, isn't the saying the best time to look for a job is when you already have one? And so I think it kind of makes sense to have that transfer of wanting it. We'll see if it does happen with Senator May to serve the full of her term, which this will be the we're getting near the end of it there. So, yeah, we'll see if she gets there. But I think it makes kind of sense with term limits being so stringent. You know, a lot of times you could be out of your job
job by, you know, your 40s or 50s in that case with the legislature. And a lot of times you got to keep going.
And then there are candidates who seem to be cursed to just never win an election. In St. Louis, we have the late Bill Haas, who pretty much ran for every office imaginable before his death. Jimmy Matthews also ran for many offices, too. But interestingly, both of those men have won elections. Haas was a school board member. Matthews was on the board of aldermen. So the people I want to highlight are memorable candidates on a state level who never won. There's the late, great Chief Juana Doobie, who unsuccessfully came in third place in the 2016 Democratic primary for U.S. Senate behind Cori Bush and Jason Kander. Yes, that is actually true, by the way. And then there's Leonard Steinman, the Jefferson City legend who ran for state representative, the U.S. Senate, Congress, Jefferson City Mayor, Jefferson City Council, and also governor. Sarah, do you think some people are just cursed and will never get elected to office? Or are some people just not good at running and it's not really a hex or anything like that?
I think eventually there reaches a point in someone's political career where if they haven't won an election or a statewide election, then the perception is they just aren't going to. And then the story becomes, quote, oh, this person is running again. They don't know when to quit, especially, you know, when it's consecutive years, if the candidate is running election after election after election. And then they shouldn't be taken seriously because they can't win. So I think in a way they curse themselves by kind of continuing on in the tenacity. But it can also be seen as just that candidate doesn't have what it takes to win.
Okay, Sarah, I've given you my Missouri political curses. What is one that comes to mind for you?
So mine's more recent of late, which I'm calling the appointment curse, which is if you are a former recent state senator, it might be a little harder for you to get your appointment to your board. If not, the last two that I can think of, which is Dave Schatz and Dan Hegeman, had a little bit of conflict with senators that were currently in the chamber, and that has been kind of holding things up at times. There was also, you know, Missouri's prior health director just wasn't appointed. That was the big thing. So weirdly, the governor's appointment board is considered very ceremonial and not super confrontational. And the last couple of years, it's been weaponized. So I'm going to say, you know, that's kind of a curse that we'll see if it continues into next session.
And in the last minute we have, what are some patterns or coincidences or things you're going to be looking for with 2 months away from the 2026 legislative session?
Ooh, that's a good question. I know you're talking redistricting later. I think we're going to continue to see kind of the lingering curse of that, of having that special session. I think that's going to remain another pattern. I think we're going to continue to see, like we do every year, is tax legislation. So that could be property taxes is a big one I think they're looking into right now. And I think we're going to, again, see the curse of the end of last session. I think a lot of the animosity from Democrats in the Senate is going to roll over into the new year. You know, we didn't really see it with the special session that happened in June because there was a bigger picture of trying to get tornado relief. That I think gloves are going to be off coming in January. So it's going to be super interesting to see kind of how that curse lingers into next year.
See, we were able to fill an entire segment about curses, guys, because Sarah and I are very good at our jobs. And Sarah Kellogg is St. Louis Public Radio's State House and Politics reporter. Sarah, thank you for joining us and happy Halloween.
Of course, Jason. Happy Halloween.
This episode was produced by Jason Rosenbaum.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Doerr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.